good afternoon again, once again, everyone. Now let me get this set up here for the people at home with the PowerPoint here. Joshua chapter 18 through 21. This is where the distribution of the land continues for the children of Israel. Actually, the seven remaining tribes of Israel. Remember in the last Bible study covering chapters 15 through 17, only Judah and Ephraim and half Manasseh received their inheritance. So now the other seven tribes will receive theirs. In this section of Scripture, even though there's a lot of geographical details and lists of towns, which can almost be kind of boring and a lot to take in, isn't. Because it's the fulfillment of the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The fulfillment that God's promises are sure. And it's a lesson for each and every one of us that God's promises are sure, and we have to keep our focus. Okay, before we get into the chapter 18, we'll do a brief review from the last time. And that was chapter 17, so we'll go through this rather quickly. Remember, chapter 13 was God's it began with God's command to distribute the land to the tribes. The land was to be distributed that had yet been occupied. And the review of the land was also made of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh, who inherited their land east river. Then in chapter 14, this began the distribution of the land west of the Jordan River. Eleazar the priest, Joshua, and the heads of the tribes were the ones that were overseeing this distribution. And we also talked about in chapter 14 that Caleb, one of those men of faith, one of the brought back a good report, received his inheritance first, even before all the other tribes. His faithfulness was rewarded, and he claimed the area of Hebron. Then in chapter 15, we talked about the inheritance of Judah. They were, after Caleb received his inheritance, Judah was the first tribe to receive theirs. And most likely that the kingship to come from Judah. David, Solomon, and eventually Jesus Christ were descendants of Judah. And they received their inheritance first. Chapter 16 and 17 describe the inheritance of the tribes of Joseph. Ephraim and one half Manasseh received their allotment west of the Jordan River. Then Ezra 18, where we begin the Bible study today, we talk about the rest of the tribes, seven of them, receiving their inheritance. So that brings us to chapter 18 then, the land distribution that actually begins at Shiloh. What we're going to see here is that the tribes of Israel move all together in mass from the Kiel to a more central location, and that of Shiloh. And Shiloh means tranquility or rest. Verse number 1. Now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. So they moved everything, including the tabernacle, from Gilgal to Shiloh. And set up the tabernacle of meeting there, symbolizing God's presence. And the land was subdued before them. Verse number 2. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And that's what we're going to talk about now as we go forward. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, verse 3, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you? So Joshua noticed something here with the remaining seven tribes that they had become motivated, most likely because of the years of war, the many battles that they had fought. Now they had to move in mass from virtually 20 miles from Gilgal to Shiloh, and they were weary. And he recognized that they were weary. And so he's motivating them, hey, you still got land to inherit. So the whole congregation then, they moved from Gilgal to Shiloh. It's about 20 miles to the northwest, more centrally located in the Promised Land. And the tabernacle was set up there, and it was in the new territory of Ephraim, which we talked about in the last Bible study. Expositors makes this comment. It says, the transfer of the ark from Gilgal to Shiloh was symbolic of the completion of the conquest because Gilgal was on the edge of the promised land, but Shiloh was in the center. So it made more sense to get the tabernacle and the centrally located camp in the middle of the promised land. But there were still seven tribes that had not received their inheritance. And Joshua understood that they were weary from all the constant war. And so he prodded them to continue with their inheritance procedures. He's motivating them. Then he's going to take it a step even further in his motivation. And we'll talk about that shortly. Okay, here's a map of the promised land of Canaan. And right there, at the very edge of the Jordan River, is where was found the camp, the first camp that they had made coming into the promised land. They're going to move now 20 miles to a more centrally located, the place called Shiloh. And that is where the arrow points here in the middle of the map there. So they made this move from Gilgal to Shiloh, and they set up the tabernacle. Continuing on now, Joshua further motivates the people as we come to this next section of Scripture in verses 4 through 7. He appoints a survey commission. Now, it's not stated here in this section of Scripture, but I believe that what Joshua was doing was with this survey, which they're going to put in a book, there'll be a description, you know, the details of it. There's pomegranates, there's figs, there's grapes, a wide open land, which would motivate them to want to continue to go on and inherit their lands, even though that they were weary. So let's pick it up again in verse number 4. Joshua says, pick out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them. Rise and go through the land. Survey it according to their inheritance and come back to me. Verse 5, and they shall divide it into seven parts, because there were seven remaining tribes to receive inheritance. Judah shall remain in their territory in the south, because they had already received theirs. And the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory in the north. They had received theirs as well. You shall survey the land in seven parts. Bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. And that phrase, before the Lord our God, means in God's presence, because God was doing the overall supervision here. And then he adds this in verse 7. But the Levites have no part among you. You know, they were not to inherit any land mass like the rest. For the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. They served in the tabernacle, in the worship system, and the sacrifices, etc. Then he goes on to explain, Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. They had already received what they wanted on the east part of Jordan. So three men of the seven unassigned tribes were to survey the land and bring back a report to Joshua so that the seven remaining tribes could receive their inheritance by means of the lots cast by Joshua. This phrase here in verse number 6, survey the land, if you're reading in the King James Version, it's describe, or we could say map out the land. And the survey in the King James Version is the description, or the maps or the surveys, according to the Companion Bible. And again, I'm sure that Joshua, even though it's not stated here in the Scriptures, there was details about the land, its richness, that the children of Israel would want to be motivated to continue on with their inheritance. Continuing on then in verses 8 through 9, Joshua charges the scouts to do their job. Verse number 8. Then the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, go walk through the land, survey it, come back to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. Men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in a book, in seven parts by cities. And they came back to Joshua at the camp in Shiloh. Here's where it states that it was in a book, or most likely a scroll, describing the details as they found it. Verse number 10, then Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, in other words, before God's presence. And there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. And as it says here in verse number 9, they wrote the survey in a book, or we could say on a scroll, like in the New International Version, a topographical survey for the rest of the tribes. So that brings us to the point now where the land is going to be distributed after the lots are cast to the various tribes. Here's where I'm skim over parts. We're going to look at some of the details, the highlights, but I'm not going to describe all of the towns and the geographical entities that are put in here because it's just too much to digest. So we'll move along in that particular way. We'll just look at the highlights. The first tribe to receive their inheritance of the seven remaining tribes was Benjamin, the territory of Benjamin. Verse 11, now the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot came out between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. So Benjamin's territory is going to be sandwiched in between Judah and Joseph, is what that is saying. Now, I'm not going to read again the rest of these details because it's a lot to take in, which is written verses 12 through 16. But I will want to make this comment that the territory of Benjamin was actually very, very small. It extended only 25 miles from east to west and 15 miles at its widest point from north to south. So it was a very small territory. But it included some very important cities in Israel, and one of them was Jerusalem. Jerusalem was located in the territory of Benjamin. Okay, continuing on then, in the next section, verses 17 through 28, is a further description of Benjamin's territory, continuing on. Again, a lot of geographical details with cities listed here from verses 21 down through 27. But I want you to take notice in verse 8. It says here in verse 28, these towns, Zelah, Eleph, and notice this one, Jebus, which is Jerusalem. So again, Jerusalem was located in the territory of Benjamin. Now, why was it called Jebus? That's because the tribe, the Canaanite tribe that was there already, was called the Jebusites. And they go back, they are descendants from Canaan, going all the way back to Ham. And they occupied this territory. Their city was called Jebus. And they would continue to occupy it until the time of King David, because the Benjamites did not drive them out like they were supposed to do. Eventually, David would drive them out, change the name from Jebus to... So that's just a little bit of history there regarding the territory of Benjamin. Okay, I've got a map here. The territory of Benjamin. It was located in the south central part of the land, the promised land. I don't know if you can see this very well or not, but it's a very small, that orange section right there where the arrow is pointing. And again, it's between Ephraim and Judah. Very small territory, but again, Jerusalem was located within their boundaries. Okay, that brings us now to the next chapter in the next lots cast for the tribes to receive their inheritance. And the second lot, in verse number 1 of chapter 19, came out for Simeon. The second lot came out for Simeon, for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. So Simeon received their territory within Judah's, kind of in the middle of Judah's territory. I've got a map here. Again, here's a list of all the cities within the territory. Territory of Simeon was to the very south of the promised land. It's in that green section there within the territory of Judah. Now, it wasn't very long after what we're reading here where Simeon actually lost their identity. And if you remember in Genesis chapter 49, Jacob's prophecy, he said that Simeon would be scattered in Israel. And eventually that would happen. And that goes back to what had happened in Genesis chapter 34 when Dinah was abused and Simeon and Levi went in and butchered up a town, the town of Shechem. And because of that, he said they would be scattered in Israel. So unfortunately, that was their fate, and they would become scattered. Continuing on now, the next lots went to Zebulun and Issachar. Verse 10, the third lot came out for the children of Zebulun, according to their families. Verse 17, the fourth lot came out to Issachar, and the children of Issachar according to their families. And again, the listing of the towns and the geographical descriptions. Here's the map of Zebulun and Issachar's territory. It was more to the northern part of the land of Canaan, the promised land. You can see Zebulun is in that purple section there, and Issachar in the light blue section. Again, more towards the north, the land that they inherited. Continuing on, and I know I'm moving kind of quickly here, but I think it helps us to at least handle on where they're at and the territory that they received. The next section was lots to Asher and Naphtali. Verse 24 describes the fifth lot coming out to Asher and the many cities and geographical description of their territory. Verse 32, the sixth lot came out to the children of Naphtali, according to their families, and the listing of their territory and cities. The territory of Asher and Naphtali to the very extreme northern part of the Promised Land. Asher is in the green by the Mediterranean coast, and Naphtali is that orange section right next to Asher, in between Asher and East Manasseh. Now, the territory of Naphtali would prove to be interesting in Israel's later history because Galilee was located within Naphtali's territory. He began preaching the gospel message in the land of Galilee. It was Jesus Christ. After he was baptized, he came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the good news of the kingdom. So Galilee was located within Naphtali's territory, which later on in history would be a very important section of territory. One more section to talk about now, the lot that came to the children of Dan. And that's the seventh lot, the seventh and remaining lot, which will finish off the territorial distribution. Verse number 40, the seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families. Another map here. Dan was located in the middle part of the land of Canaan, over towards the Mediterranean, against the Mediterranean coast, above the land of Judah and to the side of Ephraim. You can see the arrow pointing there. This was not a very big territory either, the tribe of Dan. And in fact, they were great in numbers, received a small territory, but it was a very rich, rich land that they received. And Dan was very fortunate to receive such a rich land. Now later on, because Dan did not drive out the Canaanites the way that they were supposed to do, the Canaanites would take over their territory, and Dan would have to move towards the north. They became scattered, would go to the north, and eventually in history they would begin to move on towards Europe. That's another story. Okay, so this brings us to the end of the distribution of the land for the various tribes. Now we come to the leader we described in the split sermon, or the first sermon today, the sermon that I gave earlier. That faithful man Joshua, receiving his inheritance for his faith leadership. Verse number 49. When they had made an end of dividing the land, which we just talked about, as an inheritance according to their borders, the children of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua the son of Nun. Verse 50, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked for. So Joshua for a certain city, and he got it. And that city was Timnath-Serah, in the mountains of Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt in it. We already talked about Caleb, back in chapter 14, receiving his inheritance, Hebron. Now Joshua receives his. Verse 50. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city. Verse 51 is what I want. These were the inheritances which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided as an inheritance in Shiloh, the new camp, before the Lord, before God's presence, at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the country. You know, we can read over that rather quickly, and it can escape us that we've just talked about the promises being fulfilled to the patriarchs. God fulfilled His promises. And there are promises for us, too. We'll talk about that here in just a bit. So we've talked about Caleb receiving his reward. Now Joshua received at the end of the territorial allotments, as we read here in verse number 49. Joshua's inheritance was the city of Timnath-Serah, which was located in the territory of Ephraim, about 16 miles southwest of Shechem. And verse 51 emphasizes that the inheritances were divided according to God's will. Eleazar the presiding, but it was done in Shiloh, before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. In other words, God was in charge, and it was done according to His will. One more map I've got here for you. Joshua's inheritance. It was located within that bluish-pink section right there in the middle of the land of Canaan, which territory. And basically where that arrow is pointing to was the city that he wanted, Timnath-Serah, which was his inheritance. That brings us to the end now of the tribes receiving their inheritance, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's two more chapters now, which I'm going to briefly touch on. Chapter 20 and chapter 20, which is actually a second phase of the land distribution. Chapter 20 is dealing with the cities of refuge. So I'm not going to go through this in detail because we already did that in Numbers in chapter 34. So chapter 20 is going to talk about the cities of refuge. Remember that, I'll just give you a reminder of what that was. Ancient world, if you killed somebody, the family would send an avenger to avenge the death, especially if it was a murder. That's just what they did in the ancient world. He was called the avenger of death. But what about the fact if you accidentally killed somebody? You know, you were a tree and a limb accidentally falls off and kills a companion or something or other. Then the family sends this avenger against you and it was an accident. What do? That's where God set up these cities of refuge to flee to seek asylum and plead your case to say it was an accident and then the judgment would be made. That's what chapter 20 talks about, which again was gone over in the book of Numbers chapter 4. So I'll just read just a few scriptures here to get the flavor. Chapter 20, verse number 1. The Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses." Verse 3. That the slayer, you know, somebody who kills someone, the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. To get away from that family avenger who was coming to seek vengeance for the family. And so these cities were set up for that very purpose. So again, that's what happens here in this section of Scripture in chapter 20. Now verse number 4 adds something. It says, that wasn't previously mentioned in Numbers. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city, declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them, give him a place that he may dwell among them. And so he comes, pleads his case to the elders, then the elders admit him to protect him from the avenger of blood. And so this was set up for that very case of an accidental or unintentional death on the part of one of the Israelites. Here's the cities of refuge. And they're red dots. There's six of them, three of them, on the east side of Jordan, set up on the west side of Jordan. Six cities altogether, spaced throughout the Promised Land for anyone who accidentally killed somebody to seek asylum. That's what chapter 20 deals with, and it was set up at this particular time. Then we come to chapter 21, and we'll go through this rather quickly and briefly as well. These are the towns set up for the Levites. Remember the Levites who worked in the tabernacle, servicing God and the sacrifices, etc.? They received no land at all. What they received is cities, 48 of them altogether, where they can have even land for cattle and to, you know, take care of them in that particular way. Chapter 21, verse number 1 through 3, we'll read this real quickly. Number 1, chapter 21. The heads of the fathers of the houses of the Levites came near to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers of the houses of the tribes of Israel. Verse 2, and they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with their common lands for our livestock. 3, so the children of Israel gave to the Levites from their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their common lands. And then verses 4, continuing on through the rest of the chapter, describes the various cities that were given to the descendants of the Levites. Now the very first ones to receive towns, political towns, were the priests of Aaron's line. Verse number 9 and 10 describe that. So they gave the tribe of the children of Israel, of Judah, and from the tribe of Simeon, these cities which are designated by name. Verse 10, which were for the children of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites, who were the children of Levi, for the lot was there. So the children of Aaron received the first lot of towns. One of the lots went to the Kohathites, and then to the Merarites, etc. All right, I do want to point out before we move on here, in verse number 19, it says, all the cities of the children of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their common lands. So the priests received 13 cities. Then verses 20 through 40 describes the rest of the Levites receiving their cities. The children of Kohath, the children of Gershon and Merari. The children of Kohath, it says here in verse number 26, received 10 cities with the common land. 3, the Gershonites received 13 cities. Then we continue on in the next section. And the children of Merari received 12 cities. Verse 41, and all the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their common lands. And every one of these cities had its common land surrounding it. Thus were all the... So a summary of the cities of the Levites, they received 48 in total. And that's what chapter 21 deals with. And that brings us to the end of all of the distribution. The tribes had received theirs. Joseph had received his allotment, the city. And now the Levites received their towns, 48 of them. One more section here as we close the Bible study. And that's verses 43 through 45, which is a description of God's faithfulness in delivering on His promises. Verse 43. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Verse 44. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. Not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. And finally, verse 45, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. And with that summary statement, we can say that the covenant given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been fulfilled. The Lord had given the land to Israel. His promises fulfilled. That brings us to the end, except for some lessons that I'll leave you with here today. First of all, the first lesson is Joshua received his inheritance as a reward for his faithfulness and service. He was faithful and obedient. That's part of the reason through that message before this. We saw that in the scriptures today. But there's a lesson in that for all of us. The lesson for us is Revelation 2, verse 10, the last part. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. For our faithfulness and our obedience, there's a crown of life, eternal life, that's promised for us. Great promise that is. And if God fulfills his promises through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will fulfill it for us, for our faithful obedience. Another lesson, God's covenant with the patriarchs was fulfilled. The promised land was given to their descendants, as we just went through it here in this Bible study. The lesson for us, Hebrews 4 and verse number 9, there remains a rest for the people of God. And that rest is eternal life in the kingdom of God and a planet with peace and happiness, something that this world has never had. What a rest that will be. Promises that we look forward to. So this is an important section of Scripture, even though it's heavy with geographical description and towns, but so important to us to think about and contemplate God's promises fulfilled. So that brings us to the end of the study, unless anybody's got any specific questions or comments.